Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you with grateful hearts, thankful for this opportunity. Father, the people here today came to hear and to be healed. And Father, we don't always need healing in our physical bodies. Sometimes we need healing within our soul, within our spirit, Heavenly Father, just within our attitudes, our minds. We've been hurt, Heavenly Father, disappointed, let down, frustrated, Heavenly Father, antagonized, and sometimes just crushed, dear Lord God, by the cares of this world and life. So, Father, my prayer today is that you will give us a word in season to them that are weary, and that my teaching today is not with enticing words of man's wisdom, Lord, but it is simply in demonstration of your spirit and of power. I pray, Father, that everyone here today has ears to hear what your spirit is saying. Glory and honor, they belong only to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Today I want to talk to you guys. The sermon title is Victory Over Satan's Mind Games. Victory Over Satan's Mind Games. Satan attacks our minds. And he gets our minds, that's how he gets our bodies. When we go through a situation, he looks to determine how to make it even more devastating for us. And if he can get us to participate even more in the process, the more detrimental it'll be for us. 1 Peter 5:8 says this, verse 8. And this is Peter. Now, keep on, let's see who's writing and who he's writing to. Now, Peter is one of Jesus' disciples. And he's writing to people who had converted from being Jews to now they were Christians. Now they believe in Jesus Christ. Now, I need you to understand this. He's telling people that believe in Jesus, and you believe in Jesus also. That's why you're here today. He's saying, stay alert. Now, we have the power of the Holy Spirit. We have the word. We're in church. But he's telling believers to stay alert. Stay alert. Meaning, if I don't stay alert, something might happen. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. Watch out. He prowls around like, he's not a roaring lion, but he prowls like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Excuse me, I was in South Africa. I've been many times before, and I don't know which trip it was, but at one point we're going through the safari, going through the Kruger National Park. We see all the animals, and we come across a fresh kill. And it was the aftermath, and whatever beast that was, it was just torn apart. We didn't see the lions that had gotten it, but just torn apart. That's what happens when the enemy gets with us. He rips us apart. And I think that that's how what happens with a lot of our people. And there are certain things we can do to really prevent that, but I'm going to talk to you about one particular one today. And it says here, he prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And devour literally means to swallow up. You don't want Satan to swallow you up. Now, here's the thing. And you guys that are really deep into the word, well, can a Christian be possessed by the devil? And we're not talking about possession versus oppression. That's not what it's about. We're talking about him coming up, just jacking up your life. Bottom line, that's it. Just messing you over. Messing you over. Now, the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. And I thought it was coffee that was making me get this in the morning. I didn't drink any coffee. Hold on. Amen. Luke 4:13 says this. It's about Jesus. Now, we're Christ-like, right? And if it happened to Jesus, it can happen to us. I need you guys to pay attention to this, okay? Now, Jesus had been tempted in the wilderness. 40 days, 40 nights being tempted by the enemy. And of course, he passed the test because every time the enemy came at him, Jesus responded with the word of God. Okay, that's key right there. You have to know, you have to know the word of God. Verse 13 says this, when the devil had finished tempting Jesus, he left him until the next opportunity came. So he doesn't quit. A lion is hungry. A lion is hungry. He's hungry. He's hungry. He might eat and get satisfied, but a little while later on, just like you, you get hungry. You get hungry. So he's looking for another opportunity. And what happens? We think just because we get victory one time, is all well and done. What we see with Jesus, he was waiting for the next opportunity. So yeah, you guys have gotten victory. You learned to walk in your authority, and you whatever it is you've gotten victory over. Hey, you were in foreclosure, and that modification came through. Hallelujah! And you're dancing and singing. You send me the text or the email, pastor, to give me the praise report, and hallelujah. He's coming back. So you must stay alert. Stay alert. Stay alert. I love the King James Version on this verse. It says, he departed from him for a season. A season. So yeah, relish in your season of victory, but you know what? You better stay girded up. You know, and I learned something. As a teenager, there were things that would tempt me that as an adult, those things don't tempt me anymore. Not even temptation. It's just something I'm just not going to do. It's like, well, pastor, you got to resist. I ain't got to resist. It ain't. Not going to happen. Now the enemy knows that too. And the thing we have to keep in mind, he's been around a lot longer than we have. In fact, he's been watching you since the day you were born. He knows your tendencies. He knows. And I watch sometimes, I watch a lot of pastors, and this is a personal area for me. This is personal. The minute you get to going, and everything is happening, and it's popping, if you would, and all of a sudden, he commits adultery. Oh, minister, just, and the thing about this with the adultery part is this. He was tempted when he was 18, 19, 20, 22, 30, 31, 35, but he wasted about 45, 50 years old. Enemy's like, you know what? I'm going to wait till they get a big church. I'm going to just let him preach, and he's going to get all relaxed. And y'all don't help either because y'all like, go, pastor! You know, and you get to celebrating him and Instagramming him and Facebook, and then just like, and all of a sudden the head gets a little big, and maybe the prayer time doesn't stay as dedicated, or and then when you, especially, you got to watch this. This is why we do that disc. That's why we do that personality, so you'll understand yourself and know what your weaknesses are. You got to understand you, because he will play you based on your weakness. And if you don't know your weakness, he's going to get you. And if you're the type of pastor that needs validation, you're that part of that person that likes the people, likes to be among the people, he's going to use the people to play you. Because he'll pull the people back, and all of a sudden you want them again, and you'll do anything to get that back. So you got to know you. Because he'll leave you for a season. Keep that in mind. Let's see this played out in the Word of God. Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 5, 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 17 through 25. 2 Samuel, verse 17 through 25. We're talking about the enemy and just his tactics, his tricks, and he attacks the mind. That's why I think about what I think about. And when something bugs me and irritates me, I ask myself, why is this getting to me? See, if I can get understanding, that keeps the enemy out. Right. Next year, our theme is going to be the year of understanding. And I'm going to walk you through different versions, different books, different chapters in Proverbs that talk about people void of understanding. And what happens when you don't have understanding. I'm going to walk you through Isaiah 5:13 that talks about how when we don't have understanding, we go into captivity. I'm going to talk to you about from Hosea 4:6 where it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I'm going to talk to you about Proverbs 4:7 that says, with all thy getting, get understanding. I'm going to talk to you about the parable of the sower where there are four grounds or four types of people that heard the word of God. The first type, they hear but they don't understand, and the enemy comes in and snatches what was sown in their hearts. So if you don't understand, the enemy is getting in. See, ignorance gives place to the devil. And one of the things we don't really like to do, we like to shout and run and jump in church and feel good and all, oh, he preached today. But did you get some understanding? We got two special speakers coming in next year because they're going to drop some understanding. I want you to win. I want you to succeed. I want you to experience God's best. And just coming to church on a Sunday is not going to get it. If it was, it would have been working. Look at our nation. We're getting weaker and wiser. Getting technology, but we've got sin running rampant. Let's get to 2 Samuel. Chapter 5, verse 17. I can't wait for next year. I can't. Ooh, Lord, it's on. Second Samuel. Next year is going to be the greatest year in the history of this church. It is. It's going to be the best. The first seven were great. The next seven is going to be amazing. 2 Samuel 5, verse 17 through 25. This is about King David. Now, remember, David was a shepherd boy when he killed Goliath. He spent about 15 years in the wilderness running from Saul, the king of the Jews, the king of the Philistines, and running from that army. I'm sorry, the king of the Jews, he was running from the Philistines. He was just busy running, just God bless him. But it was age 30 when he finally became king. So you would think, because he was anointed king by Samuel the prophet, and it was about 15 years before he actually became king. Okay, so in between there were a lot of what we call, when you guys are doing Destined to Lead, you're going to learn this term, process events, or events that God will allow to process you to help you grow. There are also what we call integrity checks. Well, just let me see how you're going to respond. And God will allow you in pressure situations, and some of us punk out. We get mad. We give people the finger. We curse them out. You know, we can get ugly, spirit-filled people. And you wonder why you keep going around the same mountain, because you won't pass the test. Now, you say, I got a destiny and a purpose, but you better pass the test, or you'll never reach it, okay? So David, he kept persevering. The lowest point of his life was when he had taken his band of men that he had gathered together in the desert while he was running from Saul the king, and they had left their camp at Ziklag. And what happened was, at that point, Saul had 3,000 Philistine army, people in army assigned to get after David. 3,000. None of you ever had 3,000 people chasing you. I don't care what your problem is, it pales compared to what David was faced with. But in order for David to be king, he needed to be fortified and girded up. And God was allowing him to be strengthened through that adversity. And then so he had some other enemies. So he goes out to do battle. And when he gets back to Ziklag with his men, and I told you before, there was a man that was discontented, in debt, and dejected. Not the exact kind of church I would want to pastor. Hallelujah. So David and his men come back, and the Amalekites had come in and taken everybody, all the women and kids and all their stuff. And the men were heartbroken. They turned to David and said, we're going to stone you to death. And this is David's lowest point of his life. But the Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord. The Lord has to be your strength. He has to be your shield, your buckler. See, a lot of us, we get our strength from other people. And you wonder why they keep letting you down. And then some of us will find people that really have never been able to strengthen anybody and try to latch onto them and pull some, and it's just futile. God bless you when you do that. David got his strength from the Lord. Now, studies show, Jewish history tells us that it was about 24 hours later that Saul was killed in another battle and David became king. What if he had given up right then? Like, you know what? I just quit. I can't do it. He hung in there and he became king. So it's like, yay, he's king. Life is good. But the devil will leave for a season. Let's look at this. Verse 17, when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king of Israel, and they heard the good news, yay, all the celebration, they mobilized all their forces to capture him. When the devil learned that Pastor Tony was going to start a church at New Day, when you guys got anointed or you got your license and your ordination, okay, when they heard that David had been anointed king of Israel, they mobilized all their forces to capture him. But David was told they were coming, so he went into the stronghold, into his fortress, okay? The Philistines arrived and spread out across the valley of Rephaim, okay? Now watch this. So David asked the Lord. And this is what a lot of us don't do. This sounds so simple. I ask you to come forward for prayer. I got this. Or do you? I don't need to go up there every Sunday. All right. Okay. Go it alone. Wherever two or three are gathered together. If one can put 1,000 in flight, two can put 10,000. I don't need no help though, Pastor. I'm not a people person. I ain't into people. Now, I understand that more than anybody in this class. In church. Forget where I am half the time. I do understand. That's why my mother used to call me boy. She actually called me antisocial. And looking back, I understand why she would say that. Kids come knocking on the door. Tony, come out and play. No. Tony, why don't you go outside? I don't want to go. I'm good. I stay in my room, read a book, play with my Legos. I'm good. My Hot Wheels, I was good. I had my own Hot Wheel track. And then they gave Hot Wheels a motor, called them Sizzlers. I was good. You better connect with somebody. So David asked the Lord, he prayed, should I go out to fight the Philistines? And now he had gotten victory over them before. He had. But he still stayed in prayer. And some of us, we get that's what I call spiritual cockiness. Devil, you better, you better ease up. I know who I am, and he knows who you are too. He knows what you was doing last night that you thought you were in secret. Okay, let me keep going. Should I go out to fight the Philistines? Amen. Y'all be acting like, okay. Should I go out to fight the Philistines? Will you hand them over to me? So now that's a question Tony Dunn would ask. I'm going to fight, but Lord, I'm results oriented. You're going to give them to me, right? The Lord replied to David, yes, go ahead. I will certainly hand them over to you. All right, so David went to Baal Perazim and defeated the Philistines there. The Lord did it. I love this. He gave honor to God. David exclaimed, He burst through my enemies like a raging flood. But notice he prayed first. So he named the place Baal Perazim, which means the Lord who burst through. You know how we get the song, Lord of the Breakthrough? This is where that was taken from. And it literally means, actually, in actual Hebrew, it's the Lord of the breaking through, ongoing. The Lord is breaking through. And as he named the place, he's so excited. 21, the Philistines had abandoned their idols there, so David and his men confiscated them. Got their spoils. A lot of those idols are made out of gold, silver, and things like that. And often the Lord will allow us to go do battle, and that's where we would get the spoils. And that's how our wealth will increase. We have to understand spiritual warfare. We have to understand where God is working, what he's inviting us to be a part of, and where he's leading us. Many times we're suffering because we're not allowing the Lord to lead us. Pastor, you're always talking about that emotional stuff because a lot of y'all are led by your emotions. And where has it gotten you? I gave him a piece of my mind. You need to hold on to all your brain matter. You don't have much to spare. And there's no condemnation, but come on. Think about it for a moment. This is supposed to be uplifting, okay? Pretend I'm Pastor Joel Osteen. This is supposed to be encouraging. I want you to walk out here feeling good, inspired, okay? Man, it'll never happen. Okay. Not going to happen. I got to be me. But I want you to know I do love you. I do care for you. And my wife and I intercede for you all the time. You matter to me. You matter to me. 22, but after a while, and here we go. That's what I want to get to. But after a while, the Philistines returned. They came back. I beat them. They came back. He returned after a season and a more opportune time. You have victory, Lord of the breakthrough. You celebrate. You're standing on top, and you call everybody. You're dancing. You send out that email blast announcing them, whatever else. That's good. But he returned. The Philistines return, and again spread out across the valley of Rephaim. Now it's the same valley. Now this is the mind game. He comes back at you the same way he did before. So what is your default thinking? Is do the same thing you did before. He got you victory before, right? Get me victory again in this sense. Or will it? Let's see what David does. Same valley, same Philistines, same valley, same battle array. 23, and again, David asked the Lord what to do. There's a lesson right there. Oh, see, I've been pastoring 32 years now. Let me tell you, young buck, let me tell you what you got to do. That was your season. There's a new season. That's why I pray to ask the Lord for a word in season to them that are weary. You got a word once before and they helped to encourage you. You might have a different situation right now. You might need a different word. That's why I believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And some people say they went out to apostles. No, they didn't. That's a lie. I know they didn't. Even last night, we were doing the class in Pasadena. And each person that came forth, you know, with whatever their deal was, and the word of wisdom was just coming out of me. I looked at the person, boom, 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 boom. Everybody was different. You need a word for where you are. You need a word for the season that you're in. But if you're still stuck in yesterday, and see, that's what okay, even like the young kids a minute ago. Okay, here's a great example. Dad had that urban, hey, ho, hey, that had that, what you call it, hip-hop feel or urban feel or whatever. Yeah, okay. Now, my mom is, I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. This is my mama's song, the old 100s, right? I'm like, Mama, what's a 100? Y'all only had 100 songs? What's in there? All old, but... Now, if I take these young kids, and I'm trying to get you guys, young kids, come on. I will. And I'm like, Pastor Tony, it's not going to work. We need to be in season. In season. So even for you guys that are young, understand that what you're faced with now, and this is what adults be trying to tell you, and that's why we want you to give up your whole life for something like that, because you later on, you won't even feel the same. Pastor Brian, God bless him, he was in sixth grade, graduating in seventh grade, and boy has separation anxiety. He did, because he got to seventh grade. I go in his room one day, and it was in the summer, and he's sending out writing letters or emails or something. I said, what are you doing? He says, we're about to have a sixth grade reunion. I said, you're going, what? We're going to have a reunion. I'm looking at him, sixth grade. And I said, where? He said, at the park. How are you going to get there? We're going to ride our bikes. And it just, because he's so social and people aren't. And I remember sharing with him, a lot of these people, especially when you got a little older, Brian, you won't even know them. They're not going to even, it's going to, no, Dad, but they're, okay, all right. Different seasons. So again, verse 23, David asked the Lord what to do. And watch this. The Lord said, do not attack them straight on. Uh-huh. Different season. The Lord replied, instead. He has something else for him to do. He said, circle around behind and attack them near the poplar trees. It's like, don't come at them this way. Come up behind them. Now, here's the thing. Please hear me. Here's the thing. Oh, God. God knows what they're up to. You don't. Stop trying to go it alone. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight. Oh, they're coming at me the same way. Then this is what I need to... under the Lord, because see, why do you think they came the same way? It was a trick. Trying to lull him in. You guys ever see those, what do you call it, the hustlers, the pools, the marks? They call them mark, or the what do you call the guy that comes in like, hi, I want to play pool. What do you call it? And then I'm like, oh, come on. You think you're going to take his money? And he does the first game. I really try to work hard at this, but it's fun. You're a nice guy. I want to play another one. Let's do another one. You sure you want to lose? Oh, sure. I got a few $100. And that's when, yeah. I was on a, we didn't have much money in my family growing up, and I loved skateboarding. And I would always have a skateboard. So it was kind of cheesy and cheap. And so I saved enough money, and it was $20, actually. I know young people are like, $20, that was a lot of money back in the 70s, okay? $20. So a young guy was going to sell me his board, but I had to go down to Long Beach where he lived. So I lived in Compton at the time. So I got on the 810 bus headed south on Long Beach Boulevard. And while I got on the bus, there was a guy with the cards doing three-card Monty. Where's the ball? And so I sat down. Now, I want you to know, I had the second highest SAT score in the whole Compton school district. And I'm watching him, and every time I saw where the little ball was, every time people are losing money, like, oh, I'm watching. About the fifth game, I got this cold. So I threw my 20 in there. Wrong ball. I was missed. I'm like, oh, God. I sat down, pulled the thing. Bus pulled over. I got off the bus, went across the street, waited for the next bus to go back home. I get home and my daddy said, where's your skateboard? I said, I was on the bus and what had happened was, but I was on the bus and I told him what happened. He said, Tony, they set you up. What do you mean they? had other guys on there. Ah, because see, I'm so smart, though. Yeah, see, everybody, oh, Tony, come on in. Tony, you're on the Honor Society. Tony, uh-huh, see? Got my $20. Got my $20. Do you know how long it took me to get that $20? Just like that. He saw me coming. He has others. So here they come again to come against David. They're all out there in the valley. All in the valley. And God says, don't do it. Go attack straight on. Come up behind them. Surprise them. Verse 24. Now this is important. When you hear a sound like marching feet in the tops of the poplar trees, be on the alert. Now hold on. I need you to see this. This is important. When you hear. Many of us don't hear from the Spirit. Because we have so much clutter going on. You get a divorce. You say, I'll never get divorced again. I'll never get married again. You make that inner vow, and you do your best to hold to it. And it could be that God has someone else for you. And it's not so much about you. It could be about him or her and you guys coming together and then what you produce. That could be the child that's going to cure cancer. But you don't hear because of the clutter. Now, David, this is the second go-round. And if he's telling David, don't do anything until you hear. Well, many of us don't hear because of the clutter. There's so much clutter. Our minds are just, it's going all the time. And why? Some thoughts you need to take captive. Some thoughts you need to kill. Today at 4 o'clock, we're going to talk about pruning. Just how to get rid of some stuff. And you need to know what to get rid of and what to keep. Some of you keeping stuff that's just not good. How do you determine what you need to keep? What do you need to focus on? If you're not hearing, you don't have a spirit. You are a spirit, yet we're not spiritually in tune beings. When you hear a sound like the marching feet in the top of the poplar trees, be on the alert. That will be the signal that the Lord is moving ahead of you. Sometimes we get ahead of God. It's like, wait, just chill for a minute. Just chill. Just hold on. Wait for me. When the children of Israel came out of the desert, they were guided by a pillar of cloud a cloud and a pillar of fire. And that's what led them. We need to stay behind God. You need to, the Bible says the Spirit will guide you into all truth. Sometimes I got this figured out. I got it. You jump out ahead and wonder why the enemy is getting you. He's devouring you. Stay alert. That will be the signal that the Lord is moving ahead of you to strike down a Philistine army. So David did what the Lord commanded, and he struck down the Philistines all the way from Gibeon to Gezer. What worked in your favor the first time might not work the second time, guys. You got to stay sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit and his prompting. When the children of Israel first left Egypt, they came to the Red Sea. They first left Egypt. The children of Israel get to the Red Sea, and the Egyptians are coming behind them. Got the Egyptians on one side, Red Sea on the other. And God miraculously parted the sea, and they went across. And then when the Egyptian got in there, he closed the sea, and they drowned. Do you know chariot wheels have been found at the bottom of the Red Sea? Yeah. Okay, but let's keep going. So then the next thing is that they cross the Red Sea. They come to another river, the Jordan River. And this is when they're going to enter the Promised Land. So I can see them now. Part it, Lord. Lord's like, nope. Lord, part. Come on. What you waiting on? Come on, like before. And the Lord said, this time, it'll part once the soles of your feet step in. He did it differently. They were young, still suckling, if you would, just fresh out of slavery. By now, you're a little bit more mature. He's going to want you to exercise your faith. But you got to ask him what's going on. Don't let the enemy, who goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That means there are some people he may not devour. And it usually goes back to something you don't understand. And if you can stay in tune to the Holy Spirit, get rid of the clutter, and hear clearly where God is working, where he's leading you, you will have a lot less to contend with in your life and quite a bit more victories. I want the best for you. Jack and I pray for that. Amen? Yeah. Bow your heads, please. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is alive, Lord. It's a living thing, and it will not return unto you void. That it will accomplish that which you please.